Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Coach Mack joins us every Thursday, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Coach Mack and Mike Keith have the play-by-play story for you on Titans Radio. Kickoff at 12:02 this Sunday. What's up, Mack?
Hey, guys. Look, let me tell you something. Here's the deal. Wembley, room 2716 with you and Paul.
Yep.
Downtown romance. Dallas. Romance.
Romance in Dallas.
Look like an FBI beds. Interview.
And no, let's just say this. Two beds, three men. You do the math.
True story.
Someone on Twitter saw the photo of Mac that Paul took.
It was like
took.
A silhouetted against the Dallas skyline.
It looked like
he's lecturing.
It looked like an FBI informant was having a meeting.
It looked like Mary and Barry when he was doing blow with a hooker in Washington D.C.
Yeah, secret.
Just
photo.
The way he said it, sitting on the edge of the bed.
It wasn't quite all that.
It was pretty good, though.
It was pretty good. But anyway, now we're in the Titan Steam Shop. Where
Thompson Station?
We'll take it
Thompson
on.
Station.
Yeah. Thompson Station.
Where can't we do this?
Everywhere.
Everywhere, and I love it.
You got a chair also. Congratulations.
This Madison Blevins gave me her chair.
Oh, Maddie.
Madison Blevins so nice. Gave me her chair. Kirby standing over there in the corner, shamed.
Smelling like smoke.
But you know what? You know what Kirby Allen Kirby told me? He says, now you have an end table. So now I can use it.
That's nice.
Can I get a cocktail over here?
I can use the stool as an end table.
Yes. You and Kirby, your relationship, can you characterize it a little bit for us? You two have really grown.
Well, I feel like Kirby and I have a whole lot in common, which is, you know, our give a. Our give a bleep meter's real low about things that
which
don't
we appreciate.
About things that don't really matter. And so, yeah, I mean, I appreciate Kirby to the max.
We're going to talk a lot of Patriots Titans in a moment, but Paul had the take yesterday. He's not all that big into everything is bigger in Texas. You are, by the way, guys, I saw a photo of Coach Mack in college with some.
We should combine that with a Kirby's high school photo.
In Texas at TCU. How old were you there? Like 20?
No, probably 22, maybe.
What would 22-year-old Dave McGinnis have told Paul Koharski if Paul Koharski walked up in that era and said, you know what, everything's not bigger in Texas?
Well, first of all, I would say, and then where the hell are you from? You know, number one. And number two, who cares what you think?
Listen,
we say that every day.
I don't think these guys are really getting the point. I'm saying they take it very literally. Everything is bigger in Texas. Like you're in a store like this.
We were talking about the stadium.
And they have a bigger ashtray. And I go, yes, it is a bigger ashtray. I just don't think that's a thing to hide your bigger hat on. Like, wow, a bigger ashtray. Congratulations. You did it.
Yeah, you know, seriously, you got a point. But the other thing about that statement is, it's true, you know.
How many times did you face Tom Brady throughout your career as a coordinator, as a positional coach?
I don't know the exact number, but I know several. Was I ever successful? No.
Never beat him?
No.
Never beat him?
No.
Is there a specific moment you can think back to of game planning for him or something you thought you could get done that you couldn't in a game?
Yeah. I mean, it was a lot like, and I'll say, and this is, you know, in all seriousness, it was a lot like getting ready for Peyton Manning. Because, you know, you have certain things you can do defensively that you could kind of slot in against everybody. But once you get against guys like that, and especially Peyton, you know, I mean, we had a whole separate defensive section in our book, you know, for said Peyton, Indy, you know, when I was here those 8 years, you know, because of the on-the-line things that he was able to do, you have to be able to have counterpunches for that. Now, Brady's a little bit different because, you know, they morph and change weekly. They really do, which is, I mean, it adds to the acumen of Bill Belichick, It shows the brilliance of Brady being able to do that. And the other thing that is impressive about Tom Brady, when you start looking at him and get ready and get prepared for him, there's two things you look at. You say, first of all, how did he make that decision so quickly? And number two is, how is he so accurate all the time? You very seldom see a ball that's thrown with Brady that's not, I'm not talking about a catchable football. I'm talking about, it was like it used to be when we would get ready to play Montana. He would hit those guys. You know, he made his receivers faster than they were play speed wise because he always hit them where they could catch it and still keep moving. You know, that they very seldom have to reach back for it. They very seldom have to wait for it. The windows that he throws in, everybody has to throw in tight windows, but there's a difference in throwing in a tight window and making your receiver struggle for it, making it a combat catch. And there's a difference in throwing where he's in stride and can move and continue to do something. And that's when you start watching it and you've got enough cut-ups on it and you just look at it continuously, it's impressive because of the consistency of it. And that's what's impressive about him.
I know you watch a lot of film this week on them. Compare the September version of their offense without Gordon and without Edelman to what they have now.
Well, it's
aside from just two good players joining their offense,
yeah,
like, what are they doing,
Jonathan? I understand what you're saying, and it's a fair point because their offense, again, as I say, it will change and it will play to the strengths of who they have. And here's the other thing that they do: they understand who they have. Like when they have Gronk, they understand that you're going to do something to take Gronk away. So that week, they're not working on ways just to force it to Gronk. They're working on ways to work on the people that are singled up away from whoever you are taking away. And so to your point, now that people know that about Gordon, okay, what they're going to do, they know they're going to do something to take Gordon away. So now they're going to concentrate on things they can either do in combination with Gordon, with somebody, or something they can do with somebody that's away from him. He's always looking for the single matchups because, look, I've said this before. We've all just sat and talked, you know, not on the air, but just about ball, which you guys are great at. I mean, I love talking ball with you guys. The thing that is that you study schemes, you attack people, you know, in this league. And that's what they do a really good job of.
What do you think about how they use Cordarrelle Patterson in this last game? It seems like a uniquely Patriots thing to do. To find a guy like that and put him in that spot.
No, that's a great way to put it. And plus, you know, their running backs have been banged up. I mean, and so, but to see, to me, that's the brilliance of Bill Belichick, and he's never won. It doesn't matter. I mean, he'll use a receiver as a DB, you know, as if he has to. He'll do those things, whatever he has to do in that week or in that series of weeks when he doesn't have, you know, some people, he will figure out a way to incorporate people into what they are doing. All right. Now, Patterson, look, that guy's a big unit back there. And plus they use him in such a way that even when he's back there, you understand, you know, he's going to get the football. Well, you know what you've got to do? You've got to still be able to beat the people that are coming up to block you. You got to, they're going to get a hat on a hat. You know, they're very seldom. Dante Scarnecchia, their offensive line coach, is at the top of the league in that business. I mean, you know, he and Mike Munchak are probably the two, you know, right at the top of the league as far as schemes, as getting their people in the right places, you know, what they do. So, you know, I'm sure, you know, Belichick's got great, great confidence. You know, Dante's come back. He retired once. You know, he came back. And even if you know they're going to hand it to him, you still got to be able to beat the block and get off and get him stopped.
Doug Matthews talks college football with Charles Davis every Saturday at 10:15. Presented by attorney Burt McCarter. Part of Forklift Systems Sports Saturday on 104.5 The Zone.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Coach Mac with us. Presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans.
How much do you win or lose against the Patriots based on how you react to unknown stuff that they wheel out in the moment that you can't have been pre-prepared for?
Yeah, and here's the point, and it's a very good point. When you play them, you know that something like that is going to happen. And so what you do, and you always, in all of your defenses, let's talk about defense first. In all of your defenses, you always have a default defense. In other words, if something shows up as to where you've got both flats covered, you've got the halves covered, you've got something that you're not going to give up something big, and then gives you a chance to regroup and look at it. That's number one. The second thing is you make your players aware of that. Now, you know, we've got a lot of people that have a lot of New England background here, so they understand the inside of it, you know, and what goes on and what goes into the process of that and what you are looking at both offensively and defensively from the New England side of it, as to say that, look, here's what we've given up. Here's what they may perceive as a weakness. So these are some, now, not the specific ways that they will attack it, but the areas that they might attack. And so you're ready for it. The worst thing is if you go into it not being aware of that. I can't imagine any NFL staff not ever being aware of that, Paul. You know what I'm saying? Especially with the history of what they've done. And then on the, when you're on offense and they're on defense, I mean, you know that you're going to get some, you've got to find out early in the first two, maybe three possessions, who they deem the most important person that you've got on offense and how they're trying to take them away. And then you have to be able to have some counter punches to that. You know, it's kind of like in boxing when, you know, if you've been training for, you know, somebody that's a right-hander and all of a sudden they come out in the first round and they're boxing southpaw. You know, I mean, you've got to have a way. I mean, but you know that going in, you know that pre-preparation, you know that when you look at the schedule and you know New England's coming up on the schedule.
Hey, McGinnis with us. Let's discuss Malcolm Butler for a moment.
Okay.
Is it too simple to think that Brady comes to the line, sees Butler matched up with any of his receivers, and throws at him early?
No. I mean, and again, I've been through this with cornerbacks. I mean, I've signed cornerbacks to big contracts, you know, when they come in. And what I see, I mean, I like Malcolm Butler as a player. I like the way he prepares. You know, I watch him in practice. You know, I like what, and again, I've never played corner in the league. I've been around a lot of them. You know, I've done a lot of this, and to me, what happens is especially, you know, they say in that position that you need to be able to wipe it clean and forget about it. Well, once you've given up some plays and especially when you feel like that you have to make plays, you start chasing plays. You know, it's kind of like a hitter, you know, in Major League Baseball that gets signed to a big contract, then comes in and instead of doing what he's done to get him there, he starts trying to tag it over the fence every time, you know. So it's, you've got to let the plays come to you. But what happens, you know, especially at that position, it's such an exposed position. And any, you know, you can be a guy that signs a big contract and be playing in the interior line. And sooner, you know, people that really don't watch it and understand how to look at, but anybody can see if you get beat. I mean, that's just, you know, you can see that. He just needs, in my opinion, just quit, you know, quit chasing plays. Do what you do that got you what you are. He's a good player. And I love the way he practices. He prepares, you know, and they're going to continue to come at him until he puts the fire out.
Flip side of this is the Titans are the number one defense in the NFL in terms of points allowed. Bill Belichick was asked about it yesterday, and I actually liked his response. He said, they're the best defense in football.
And
in terms of points, and I'm not going to talk about one guy. So is there something in line with, we can all harp on Malcolm Butler giving up a touchdown a game, which essentially he's done by average, but the touchdown's going to go against someone at some point against any NFL defense, and this defense is still the best in the league.
Yeah.
So how do you look at it when it's Malcolm Butler is seems to be the guy that's giving it up every time?
No, but you look at it like that because, you know, you're going to give up plays. But if you're, look, after 8 weeks in the National Football League, you're the number one, look, coach defense for a lot of years in this league, and scoring defense is the measuring stick. That's the measuring stick. All these yards, all this, I mean, they're going to have to rearrange. If you're doing defensive goal boards now, like everybody used to, where you know, your first goal was win, clearly, second goal, hold them under 300 yards. You serious? I mean, now the way these rules are, hold them under 600 yards. You know, I mean, this, you know, all of that stuff, points are the only thing that matters at the end of the day, because at the end of the day, it's the points on the board that matter. Who has more than the other person? And Bill Belichick is 100% right, and every coach that you talk to is going to say that too. I promise you. And again, the player, if they're going after the player, well, he can put it out. You know, he can put it out. And the thing that you want, I mean, I'm going to be the first person that's going to be so happy for him the first time they, you know, they line up and go at him and he picks it off or he slaps it down. He's made a lot of plays. He's given up touchdowns, but the touchdowns haven't been the reason that this, you know, this football team is sitting at 4-4. This defensive football team is the best against the score in the National Football League after 8 weeks. That's not an accident.
The Titans had 5 sacks in the second half against Dallas. But I'm going to go at the pass rush from this perspective. There are quarterbacks in the league that do an excellent job of assisting their offensive line, and coordinators too with some of the play calls, getting the ball out quickly, of not allowing the quarterback to get hit. Brady's one of those. Manning was very good at that. Andrew Luck's very good at that. We can rattle off quarterbacks that do
that. Right.
How do you approach that? How do you get to Brady with a line that doesn't give up a lot of hits on him? They haven't. The last couple of years, I know that the hit total was high, the sack total was not. He's very good at getting rid of the ball and not taking the loss.
No, well, that's why he's been playing so long, too. I mean, you know, Tom Brady's a lot like, I'll go way back. I worked in Chicago with a guy named Dick Stanfield, the offensive line coach that is now in the Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame.
Dick's in the Hall of Fame. And Dick was an offensive lineman, and he was a coach. He was also a coach in San Francisco when he was the offensive line coach when Don Brody was the quarterback. They set an NFL record for fewest quarterback sacks. And I asked him, you know, I said, Coach Stanfield, I said, what was it about that offensive line that was, you know, I mean, this is an amazing number that of sacks that you gave up, you know, over a course of, it was a 12-game season back then. I said, this is an amazing number. You know, 12, 14 games, only this much. He said, it wasn't the offensive line. He said, it's the quarterback. He said, he would never get sacked. You know, he'd get rid of it. He'd throw it. And that's what Brady is. And that's, look, these guys that understand it back there and get it and don't try to make something out of nothing is important. Now, what do you do defensively? And when you play Brady defensively, you've got to be patient because he's going to complete passes. They're going to move the ball. They're going to move the chains. I mean, you understand that. When you watch the tape, you look at it, it's a lot like, again, I keep deferring back to Peyton Manning because, you know, I spent 8 years here, you know, trying to defend this dude. And you know they're going to be successful moving the ball, but once you get in the red zone, you make them kick at a field goal. You make them kick at a field goal every time, and don't give up anything big over your head. I mean, that's what you do.
That quarterback's ability to not get sacked, to sense pressure, to know when something's not right, to know when a blitz is on. What percentage of that is film study? What percentage of that is just natural knowing your assignment, knowing the game, and having a feel for pressure around you?
Well, let's put
one. Maybe it's different for every quarterback, too.
No, it is different, but let's put one more. Chad, let's put one more element in there. It's experience. It's experience also. You have to experience that full speed and understand what that is. And there is a innate clock in their head that they develop with experience and knowing when it's too long and knowing how much time you have with certain patterns, knowing how much time I have against this certain defense, how much time do I have in this certain play call, how much time do I have with this certain protection. All of that plays into it. But a whole lot of it, and Jonathan started this off, you know, by talking about Dak Prescott holding the ball in the... Normally, when quarterbacks hold the ball too long, they're trying to make something out of nothing, and they really don't understand what they're seeing initially in the first place.
What can Sean Payton do with Dez Bryant, who, you know, made a big deal out of waiting for a perfect situation? If he does anything down there, obviously John Robinson and Mike Vrabel are going to hear about it here. But obviously there he's playing with Mike Thomas, who you know, makes a great allowance when you're clearly a number two and not expected to do number one kind of things.
No, I mean, it's a completely different scenario. It's a completely different setup, you know, down there. I mean, Paul, he might not be a number two down there. He might be a three, you know, could possibly be a four. And in that role, with where he is now in his career and the things that Sean is doing, I mean, you know, they're rolling. I mean, that offense is gin rummy right now. I mean, they're moving. And to be an accessory piece is what they've got him for? Absolutely. You know, he was, you know, there's a big difference in being Dez Bryant when he was brand new and he was the man, the guy that everybody, and being somebody that's an accessory piece to a very, very successful and accomplished offense that can fit a piece like that around other things. I mean, they've clearly won a lot of games when he hasn't been there, right? And so they'll be able to use him. I mean, that's, if for an aging player, and it's kind of like, you know, the guys, the veteran guys that go to New England. You know, they fit them where they need them, but they're not the main cog. They're not getting him to put them over the top of anything.
What do you think about what the Bears have done at the top of the division by a little bit? With Trubisky playing pretty well, it feels a little bit like the Rams with Goff. Not, it's not quite the takeoff, but Nagy coming in and doing. It's a pretty good second-year transformation off a team that looked really bad last year.
Yeah, and I tell you what, Paul, the forgotten element in the Bears is Vic Fangio. The best thing they did when they changed head coaches was they kept Vic Fangio as a defensive coordinator.
And they gave him a pretty good defensive player, and though he hasn't played the last couple weeks.
Right, and they brought him. But Vic Fangio, that defense is so rock solid. And then now Nagy comes in and takes Trubisky to another step in his development. I mean, it's impressive. I mean, you've got to be impressed when somebody comes in and look, it's all about now in the National Football League, and people are all making flips now. They're all looking for that, you know, for that offensive guy that's going to be able to flip, but you still got to have a core group around you that can do things. And the front office is so vital, so vital. So vital, so important, because if you don't have a front office that understands the draft and understands, you know, how to put these things together, because, you know, with one or two injuries, teams flip so fast in the National Football League. I mean, we're sitting here during the break and you guys are looking at your fantasy teams going questionable, 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 you know, guys are hurt. Well, that's what it is this time of year. But what they've done in Chicago, I'm impressed.
Chad, I gave you too much credit. You did open up and cut Dez Bryant. I shamed you into that.
Here's what's funny. I cut Dez Bryant. I also drafted Cordarrelle Patterson, which you made fun of that. Cut Cordarrelle Patterson, but got him back yesterday.
You made fun of that.
I got Dez Bryant. I picked him up on my better team, and I don't have room for him this week. I'm not playing him.
He's 29 years old. Did I read that right?
No, I think so.
It's amazing to me that he's gotten slower. But we consider him an aging receiver.
No, you even get close to 30 at receiver or running back, and
he just
especially
turned 30.
Positions like that play well into their 30s. That's just the toll it takes on you if you can play at a high level.
No, absolutely, and a lot of it is God given. You know, if you're able to maintain your speed, of course you have to do a lot to that. But a lot of that stuff's womb to tomb stuff. I mean, you know, you've got to be able to. You know, and you're blessed with some gifts, you know, to be able to stay at a high level, because this, I mean, like the most amazing player like that I ever, you know, competed against as a coach and was Darryl Green at Washington, because Darryl Green came into this league fast and Darryl Green left this league fast. I mean, it was pretty amazing.
How many people did you have lunch or dinner with in Dallas?
Can't count them. A lot of frogs.
That's a lot of meals. A
lot of frogs.
Did you just eat?
No. I just sat there and held court. I just sat there and held court there in the what was the restaurant's name? Vine and something. And then I went and started giving the dog sniffing the baggage. Started feeding. I mean, you're not supposed to touch those dogs. And so I walked in there, you know, because I'd already done my bag. I got there early, you know, so I could go get on the bus and save my seat with Rhett. Anyway, they had this the guy sitting there with the dog.
How'd you wind up sitting with Rhett? Was that like by default?
Oh, yeah. No, you wanted to sit by Rhett.
Oh, no.
Is that good of a...
No. I save a seat for Rhett. Yeah. I've got one of those heads that look like Rhett that I stick up in that seat. So people can't get on, sit next to me. No.
Mac does a good job of reserving a seat for me, too, post-game. Because I get down there late, he's like, hey, here's your seat. And then if someone else tries to sit there, he like kicks them out for me.
What if like Marcus tried to sit there?
Oh, he would let them. Yeah, but they, yeah.
No, but you know, anyway, the dog is sitting there and I'm walking out. And I said, it was a brown lab and he was sitting there and I asked the guy, I said, how old is he? He said, 7, you know, I'm a big dog guy. You know, I said, you keep taking him home with your family? Cause I know if they take him home with their family that when they're not working, they're, you know, he said, oh yeah, my kids love him. So I said, what's his name? He said, Leroy. Cause he's a brown dog, Leroy Brown. I went, Leroy Brown. That dog jumped up, started moving around, and, you know, that's come. So he finally just let the leash go. He came over there. So now I'm messing with him. Now he's barking. Everybody's looking. He's barking, jumping around, you know, and the guy's looking at me like, come on, coach. And he said, you know, he does this with my kids. He said, I shouldn't let you do that. He said, I never should have taught him to drink out of a bottle. And I said, what? He said, oh, yeah, he drinks water out of a bottle. So I grabbed Max Curtis's water bottle. I said, give me your water. So now, and I told the dog, sit, Leroy. Leroy sits down. So I started letting him drink water there in the lobby. He's sitting there drinking water out of the bottle. So that was my pregame.
This is reminding every one of our listeners of me and Isaiah's dog on the mail room.
That's it?
Everyone. It's the same story, just with different
same characters. Power.
Dog yeah. Whisperer.
Same power.
Me, you, and Caesar.
Beastmaster.
Meanwhile, Chad in the corner, quivering, took his microphone over there, standing on the stool.
Just not quivering, just indifferent to this dog. Totally indifferent.
Chad's like, are we ever going to get done with this dog story? Please.
Mac, thank you as always. Always enjoy having you on the show.
Guys, it's an honor and a pleasure. Kirby Allen Kirby. We don't have any truth according to Kirby or anything today.
No, he didn't have one. He has some weird stories, but none that are.
Oh, really? Seriously?
None that are ready for air yet. Shocking. Let's put it that way.
Okay, we're workshopping.
Yeah, workshopping. Okay, Kirby, take
Mac. We only bring the very best to the air.
Yeah. I know you do. You guys,
9 out of 10 Kirby stories.
We don't make up a story to make a good segment.
No, you guys make up nothing. Kirby, take this stool back to the
workshop.
Yeah, take this stool back to the hee-haw set, and I'll see you in a couple of months again.
Well, now you know what
did
happened.
Did you say earlier it looked like something from grandmother's?
It looks like my grandmother's attic.
And you know what happens now? The whole show comes down because Mary Frances gets disappointed.
Now it's just these guys.
Yeah. And Mary Frances is the best. Yeah. Is the absolute.
Can she come with you for the rest of the day? She wants some excitement.
Dave McGinnis has been our guest. He's presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans.